4:45 here downtown on your Tuesday afternoon. Always made better when Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company joins us in studio. He's here for this week's Message in the Bottle and celebrating that beautiful, beautiful pavement.
Yes. Oh, it's the smoothest, most beautiful thing I've ever seen, including my newly born children's skin. That pales in comparison to this asphalt. Yeah, folks, Hammond Street's put back together. So come on down, and I feel bad because now my road's being, you know, put back together, and I pass by other people's roads and I see that there's like impending doom for them, and I'm just like, ha 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 ha.
You had your turn.
Sorry,
it was a lengthy turn.
I had my turn, and now I understand what everybody else went through on West Market Square and Central Street. It's been quite a mess, but it's gone. We have new sewers. Hopefully we get another 150 years out of those. Or the merchant who happens to be in my space in that time. If there is indeed still commerce at all, then we haven't advanced to the Star Trek level of, I want this, okay, make it so. Then, yeah, I pity them. But up until that point, we'll probably be flying. Roads will be irrelevant.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it'll be Doc Brown and who needs roads. I need to add a personal RIP. Before we move on in the world of sports, so everybody knows I'm from that part of New Jersey where we're kind of in the middle of the New York Philadelphia thing, and Darren Dalton passed away yesterday, and that really bummed me out because that's when I actually my father could afford to go to baseball games because people could afford to go to baseball games. And so we went to the most heinous of all stadiums, which is now also no longer with us. But it was beautiful then. To me, it was like I looked at the Astrodome. I was like, I got Veterans Stadium. Damn it. And that, you know, anyway.
I've been to baseball with veterans. How was it beautiful?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all I had. It's all I knew. My dad didn't take me to like Shea or anything. Like that wasn't a thing.
The first World Series game I ever saw in person was Game 5, 1993.
Nice.
When Schilling threw a shutout against the Blue Jays. It was the next night that Joe Carter had the walk-off home run.
Yeah, it was you know, people forget about that era of baseball because it was right before the asterisk era, as we've been revisiting today on all the sports channels I've been noticing, because yesterday was the 10th anniversary of apparently something we've all forgotten because we've blocked it out. But of course the home run record, and I was just like, and you know, back in the day, like there was no tarnish,
right?
And it was a beautiful thing. And then we found out that all of our heroes used, and it was like just awful. But Dutch was one of the last guys I really dug. And so bye, Dutch. I'm sorry you went early.
Yes, indeed.
So we're moving on to wine, and we'll raise a glass to him later. We are in northwest Italy today. We've been talking about Italy as we started last week with Piedmont. Now we're moving into sort of the foothills of the Alps and going towards Venice. And there's a lot of wines that Americans like from this area, but they don't really necessarily know that it's from this area. And certainly the wine that we're going to be drinking today is one of my faves because it's one of those jug wine, absconded, good, you know, wines that people don't think is good anymore. So we're going to hit that later. But before we get to that, the drinking, although everybody in studio has already started to sample, so sorry, everybody in Radio Land. Of course, Northwest Italy is home to Pinot Grigio and a lot of Pinot Grigio, an awful lot of Pinot Grigio. And a lot of it is total junk, but a lot of it is very, very good. And you do find in the foothills of the Alps, so we're talking about areas called Trentino and Alto Adige. They're basically one on top of the other, and as you get towards the north, you basically, as I'm often fond of saying, everybody's last name is German, and everybody up there looks like extras from The Sound of Music. It's a very, very strange experience to know you're still in Italy, but it's much like being sort of in the north of Maine. Like, everybody's last name is French-Canadian, and a lot of people speak French-Canadian as opposed to French, and they, you know, there's just this border thing, and of course, northern Italy was at times kind of quasi-southern axis Germany, and so it kind of makes sense. But they make really, really good wine because it's very high altitude, And it's dry. There's a lot of biodynamic and super organic and green winemaking going on up there. So check out those wines because they're very, very good and very good for you if you're concerned about what goes into your wine. Key names, Aloysius Legater is certainly one of the best, Lechtaler. So check out those wines from, again, Trentino and Alto Adige. And then we go a little further south and we find this massive, massive inland lake. And so I've been thinking a lot about this lately because I've never been up to Moosehead, but I really need to get there. And I'm sort of thinking about the large bodies of water and how people are like, well, you know, Moosehead has its own, you know, waves and it's really like an inland sea. And Lake Gard is quite like that as well. It really does a lot to moderate the temperatures, the cold winds coming out of the foothills of the Alps, and it moderates it. So at the southern edge of Lake Garda comes the wine that we're going to be drinking today, which is a Soave, for anybody wondering. And also all these other wines that people really like, Bardolino, Amarone, Valpolicella. They just have this wonderful variety made out of very, very similar grapes and... So we'll be talking a little bit about that. There's also the region of sort of Slovenia Friuli, which is a really, really interesting thing. So Slovenia is separated from Italy by a river, which is very snaky. And as we often talk about, southwest-facing vineyards in the Northern Hemisphere are the best. Well, in some parts of Slovenia, their vineyards are southwest-facing, and in some parts of that river, the Italian side is southwest facing. So there's a lot of really interesting Italianate wines that we are getting from Slovenia and that side of Friuli that are really, really cool. Also being grown in Friuli are a lot of Bordelaise grapes, Merlot, Cab Franc, that are getting huge reviews. And if you like Bordeaux style wines and just also really good sort of medium bodied old world style wines, check out some of these reds from Friuli. We do have one or two in stock right now and they're really, really, they're pretty killer. And then, of course, the fastest growing imported wine style in America is Prosecco bubbles, inexpensive bubbles. They're fun. Some of them are more serious. Some of them are less serious. Most of them in Italy are actually made with a slight bit of sweetness. Most of them that are imported to America because they're kind of champagne stand-ins tend to be on the drier side. Of course, some of them are great for mimosas and things that you don't care about, but there are actually some parts of the Prosecco region that are DOCG, so that's the highest level of Italian wine control and law, and they're quite good. So Valdobbiadene is really the heartland of that, and if you can check out some, and they're not expensive, like $18, $20 for some of the best examples. So if you dig really good sparkling wine, check out some of those because I think they're really worth it. And if you're looking for something that's just fun for toasting and you don't really care about, there's still really excellent values out there. I mean, our house Prosecco, we sell for $12 a bottle in it, and I'd put it up against a lot of things that sell for more. The only thing I kind of resent about Prosecco is that now it's fetching the same prices as a lot of wines that are made, in the Champenoise or classic method, like Cava from Spain and, things from, you know, Austria and other places that are much more expensive to produce, but just not as well known as Prosecco because, yeah, good for Prosecco and good for the marketers behind it. So the wine we're drinking today, before we run out of time, and I have to remind you about our tastings and everything else coming up, we're drinking a Soave, right? So like Soave was one of those wine names that the Gallo brothers and all those other guys caught on to because they needed a name for some of their inoffensive whites, and they had already used Chablis, and so they came up with, well, Soave, that sounds kind of cool. We'll use that. And so what Soave is, just for technical terms for all you actually wondering, it is from this delimited region at the south end of this massive lake, Lake Garda, and it is made out of the grape Garganaga, and in its better iterations, like the one we're drinking tonight, it is a wonderfully medium-bodied wine with just a little bit of meatiness to it, good acidity, very fresh, wonderful with stuff that we're going to be eating at this time of year, like fresh fish. I mean, tonight I'm going to go home and do my best to create Cafe Miranda's haddock chowder, which is just one of the most incredible dishes I've ever had put in front of me. And this is just perfect for that sort of thing. but it has nothing to do with that jug wine. So if you're finding yourself thinking Suave is like, no, I don't. Yes, you do want it. You just don't know you want it. And so I'm here to tell you you want it. The wine we're drinking tonight is from a winery called Monte del Fra. We carry this. We also carry another wine from a neighboring appellation called Custozza, which is also solely white. And I believe we might have tried it on air at one point, which is another sort of wonderful, refreshing, although that's more of what I call a 201 level wine. It's a little more challenging, whereas the Suave is just such a wonderful wine, an entry-level wine. If you like unoaked Chardonnays, if you like old-world-style Sauvignon Blancs, if you like wines beyond those two varietals, which I hope at this point you've branched out behind beyond Chardonnay and Sauvignon, but I know it's hard. It's not quite like a Pinot Grigio, if people are wondering. Well, it's kind of from that part of the world. Now, it's got a little more direction. It's got a more line than that in its best iterations. And so this is quite nice. And I don't know, gentlemen, what do we think?
This is delightful.
Delightful, in fact.
Agreed.
I like this. Smooth, refreshing.
Fantastic. Carrie's just getting back from New Orleans, so it's a little bit light for him.
Yeah.
He was waiting for something with a little more impact. I get it.
No, that is a perfect summer wine.
So we've got a couple things. Again, I will remind everybody, please come on down to the store, and construction is gone. Our tasting this month is on August 17th. We will be drinking the wine we are drinking tonight, the Monte del Fra Suave, as well as other wonderful Italian wines. And again, I will remind everybody that in addition to our regular tasting in September, on September 29th, we will be teaming with Bubba's Angels, which is, of course, the local charity that fixes it so that veterans can adopt some little furry friends to help them in their loneliness. And they are being adopted from, I believe, two local clinics, including the Brewer Vet. And it's just a really, really wonderful charity that I'm totally excited about. And we are going to have adoptable animals in the store, as well as, of course, you know, we'll taste some wine. And I'm trying to work with some other folks and try to see if we can set up some other more family-friendly things so that we can get in some families and basically, you know, shamelessly try to have them adopt some animals too, because I'm all about adopting animals, especially since I'm at capacity. So we need other people to step up. But yes, again, so this month, August 17th, 5 to 7 p.m. in Bangor Wine, we'll be tasting Italian delights. And gosh, I can't think of anything else, but I'm sure there's other things.
To Dutch
and all the rest of the Phillies from back in the day. I heard the best thing. This is a tangent again. There was somebody going off on drinking whole milk as a grown-up. And the guy said, I grew up in the 80s when literally, and for me, it was Mike Schmidt of, again, the same Phillies team. Like, we were being told that milk does a body good and that the only way that we'd ever be a successful sportsman is to do that. So that's why we did it. And that's why I still drink whole milk, except when I'm drinking wine.
There you go. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese. Please watch for Eric in your crosswalks if you're downtown, too.
Also that. Special reference to you, a guy in the white pickup. I didn't get your license. You're welcome.